This episode of Humans of Email is brought to you by Email on Acid, the testing and delivery platform that ensures that your emails reach the inbox and display properly across all clients and devices. Plus, there's no limits on the number of rendering tests you can run. Try Email on Acid today. Sign up for a free 7-day trial at emailonacid.com. That's emailonacid.com.
Wait, how do we usually start?
Okay. Welcome to Hema.
Take two.
Should we start with that?
It's appropriate.
Let's try that one more time. Welcome to Humans of Email. I'm Natalie Jackson.
And I'm Jen Capstraw. And you probably...
Fourth time's the charm.
Have you ever made a mistake? It's not hard to do.
Welcome to Humans of Email, a podcast about the people, ideas, and accidents that move email forward. I'm Natalie Jackson.
And I'm Jen Capstraw. And so far, we've been talking about people and ideas, right? The theme of the show is people, ideas, and accidents. So we talked to Mark Robbins. We talked to Stephanie Griffith. We talked to Alice Lee, and we learned a lot about who they are in the email world and who they are outside of the email world, but we haven't delivered on that one promise in our tagline just yet, and that's the accidents part, the mistakes, the tragic errors that every email marketer has made. So we've saved those tasty nuggets from those interviews to share with you in episode number 4, episode number 5, 6, 7, 8, and episode number 12. Those will be totally dedicated to mistakes.
I'm so excited for this. And the mistakes, I feel like, are great learning opportunities. Like, who hasn't made a mistake? I'm sure you've made terrible mistakes. And I teed up earlier this week in our teaser some of the horrible mistakes that I have made. I have one in particular that haunts my dreams as an email marketer. I think I've told it to you before. Have I told it to you before?
I think you did, but like the thing I remember most vividly is you made the same mistake multiple times in a row in the same campaign. Is that how it went?
Yeah. So I had this brilliant idea that I was going to like use these hyper-personalized landing pages. I mean, we're talking like maybe 10 to 12 different dynamic variable data points. And like some of them were like custom images and some of them were like custom text and some were like entire blocks of like content that were totally different and perfectly targeted to each person receiving them. So then I was like, okay, it's a B2B software email. So I'm like, I'm going to send out a personalized landing page link to every person on our MQL SQL database with this like hyper-personalized, check out how cool this software is for you, kind of a call to action. And I was like, this is gonna be great. It's gonna be so much fun. Well, all of that went great, except I forgot that in all the process of testing, every single person I sent a test link to already had a Perl in the system. And I forgot all of the people that I was sending to did not have a personalized URL created for this campaign. And so here I am. I get all excited. I'm like, here we go. We're going to launch. I've tested it like 6 ways to Sunday because I was so paranoid about the personalized content. And I send out the link. I'm confident it's going to work. And then I get the responses. Hey, I'm not sure if you were trying to send me a link to something, but I'm getting a 404 error. Oh, hey, cool idea, Natalie, but I'm not actually able to see any of these landing pages that you're talking about in your email. Oh, hey, love the idea of personalized content. That's something I'm very interested in, but it's not working. And I'm like horrified, like my stomach like sinks. I'm like sweaty, my hands are shaking, and I'm like, what happened? What did I break? And so I get in there, and of course, what it is that I forgot to add these personalized landing page links, right? So I'm like, okay, I can do a bulk update. I'll be fine. And because I'm clever, I'm only going to update the people who have not opened the email. I'm just going to try to get those people that like haven't gotten there yet. And so I updated all those people, but I'm like still getting responses. I sent out one oops email and I'm still getting people who are like, I don't know what, I still can't get this. And I'm like, but I updated their personalized URLs. Like, what happened? What have I broken now? Well, it was the other people. The people who had opened it already were going back now because they got the oops email that was like, hey, it's all fixed. Everything's fine. I had to send out a second oops email. So two oops emails in a span of an hour. And by the third time I sent it out, I was like mortified. I think the copy in the email was like, hi, sorry, the marketing director doesn't know what she's doing. Please forgive her idiocy. This has nothing to do with the software and everything to do with her not doing QA. It was so stressful. I will say, I mean, it got great engagement, but like I had to send it three times. So
people really wanted to know what's behind this link. So that's a plus, I guess. The last oops email I sent, the call to action was, this link works, probably.
That's proud of that one. Thing about an oops email. Like, I love a good transparent oops email that's like, yeah, we broke it. Sorry.
And we've got some great oops stories from our first three guests.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Mark's. Let's listen to Mark Robbins. Let's hear what he had to say about his experience with a mistake in an email.
Yeah, so going back to that first job I had in email, my manager, who's the marketing manager, he did this cool design of this infographic. It looked really good. I was like, oh, I really like that. And it was sort of talking about what we were selling. And I was like, oh, I'll put that in an email. So I took that design and I coded it all up. And it was great. It looked really good. And it was responsive and it all sort of flowed nicely and it stacked nicely. It's like, oh, this is great. We sent it out. And then later sort of looked at it and then realized there's no CTA on there. There's no call to action. It's just this like a beautiful design. I mean, there were links in there, but there's sort of nothing was styled like a link. There was no obvious place to click. I was so happy with this. It's like, oh, this is great. Look at this. Really, really happy. And then I was like, oh, hang on. And then these days, I'm not let near a sort of copy or design. I'll just write the code. So let somebody else worry about that stuff.
I can't believe he forgot to put a call to action button in his pretty email.
I know. Well, I mean, you and I come from the strategy side. So we both know that you should start your campaign understanding what your objective and what your call to action. And that's a tip that I give people in my like conference presentations is like, you should consider the first piece of creative that you create is what is the call to action and then build the campaign around that. But Mark is not a strategist. He's coming from like the dev and design side of things. So it's understandable that that's a step he might miss.
Absolutely. But I love that perspective, right? It's so important to first ask yourself, like, why am I sending this email? And like, what do I want someone to do with it? So good learnings and takeaways. I'm sure it was beautiful because he's very talented.
I mean, I still want to see the email with the fly that you could interactively smush with the twitchy, twitchy leg.
That's so great. Well, Stephanie's oops is a little bit different. Let's listen to hers and hear what she has to say.
So people might come at me with pitchforks for this. And it's something I've grappled with in every interview because I hate the question of like, tell us about a giant failure. Tell us about this massive thing. I do not have any, like, I don't have a horror story. I don't have an email horror story. Do I have the minor things of like some subject lines went out with minor typos or there might have been a small segmentation issue? Yeah, but like my approach to email has always been, it's just email. I'm sure there's industries in which it's a little bit more touch and go, but I've been very fortunate to not have any like major snafus, like honest to goodness. So I don't have any of those type of horror stories, but I will say more on the career side for me, it took me a while in my career to learn kind of where I fit in. And that was a bigger component for me of like not finding myself in the right roles or maybe not with the right kind of culture. So that was a bigger mistake thing for me that I had to learn time and time again of like, where do I fit in? What role and opportunity kind of best aligns with what I'm trying to do in the email space where I'm empowered to not be afraid of failure because we're trying to learn. So that's really kind of what I have sought out. A lot of me avoiding failure was just like my meticulous and like overly perfectionist, like need to not, you know, to not get anything wrong. I was afraid of failing. So it took me a long time in my career to come more to terms with that. But I've largely, up until this point, avoided any major accidents. So
you might be the luckiest email marketer I've ever talked to.
Listen, I don't have send anxiety. First of all, schedule always, like schedule, don't send. I don't know. It's always like, that's why I've chosen this channel. I get a thrill. Like I love sending emails because then I'm like, ooh, we're going to get all this data. Like things are immediately going to happen. There's a lot of like self-fulfilling benefits into it or in that channel. And that's why I've chosen it. So yeah, I don't get send anxiety. I'm not freaked out by sending it. Cause for me, like it's just email. And largely on that side too, I will say, I'm really trying to dig my brain here for examples. I do think when I was agency side, I wasn't the one that hit send on this, which is why I wouldn't claim it as like my mistake. It was on an account I was overseeing. I think we did launch a sale for a client early, by I think maybe a week. And I think I was helping the coordinator on that account kind of navigate the situation. And the silver lining was like, mistakes can be rectified. People have this like innate fascination with brands that make email mistakes. Like, oops, emails across the board are like overwhelmingly high performing because everyone's like, who screwed up? What went wrong? Like, we're so curious, right? Like, you're like, what did this brand screw up? So people just want to see that. There's that weird kind of curious nature of figuring out what happened. People are nosy too. We're just nosy beings. And so because of that, we did send an oops communication and it like performed exceedingly well. I think we had looked back at like the full year performance and it was like the top performing email. And of course the client, you know, at the time was not thrilled, but they were like, oh, you know, there was a bright side here. It was easily remedied. They actually, I think, wanted to send them. They're like, why don't we just send these all the time? And we're like,
no.
Exactly. That's exactly where you should, thank you. That is exactly what you should not do. Don't fake it. Like they work when they're authentic. They work when, you know, there's a big website snafu or you really sent the wrong communication. You launched a sale early. You used the wrong holiday. Whatever it is where you're like, oh, we really flubbed this. Own it, be honest. If there's a fun and playful way to address it, like, cool, that is a great branding opportunity. It's a great conversational opportunity to show that you're a human behind the brand and behind the email program. So typically silver linings in mistakes, and I'm not afraid to fail. I've reached that point in my adult life and my career life where failure doesn't scare me. Usually there's good learnings from it, especially for email, almost no mess that we can't, you know, clean up. And have a kind of silver lining too. So, yeah.
You've been listening to Humans of Email, and we'll be right back.
So, Natalie, we have got our silver sponsor that we are featuring today, and that is Email on Acid. They are the official sponsors of the accidents episodes of Humans of Email.
I'm so excited, and I love their platform, especially when it comes to making sure you're not making mistakes. Like, it's a huge help.
Definitely. They were kind of enough to give us an instance. And I've been working on one of our email campaigns here, and I just did Email on Acid rendering tests for the first time in a really long time because I haven't been hands-on in the email trenches for a while. So I'm rusty. And I ran this message through. And they've added so many features since the last time I was a user. And in addition to like seeing how janky our call to action buttons are in Outlook, it also has Outlook. It's got some cool accessibility features. So it lets you know how it is your color contrast inadequate? Are you doing some things that would not be friendly for screen readers? And it gives you an opportunity to address those problems. But the thing that jumped out at me that I thought was really cool was there's a color blindness functionality. Ooh. So I can click and see what does our email look like if you have a deficiency seeing the color red or the color green or the color blue, or if you're totally colorblind and you don't see any color at all.
So
could
cool.
you imagine? Our beautiful rainbow branding is just black and white and gray to some people. But it's a really great tool and obviously a no-brainer to be the sponsor of our accidents episodes because the Email on Acid solution can help you QA your email campaigns so that you make sure that they look terrific before they go out the door. Fewer oops stories for email marketers who are using Email on Acid.
Love it.
And the best part of Email on Acid is that there is no limit to the number of rendering tests you can run, and that goes a long way when you are troubleshooting Outlook again and again and again. And you can sign up for a free 7-day trial. Just head over to emailonacid.com. Check it out. See all these cool features. Going back to that career mistake, though, you were choosing the wrong environments. Were you able to pinpoint what it was that you were doing wrong? Were you just trying to fit in anywhere without like really looking at, it wasn't like a two-way interview? Or what was it? What mistake were you making, and how are you able to now make better decisions?
That's such a great question. Yeah, I think for a long time earlier in my career, it was the take whatever, you know, opportunity you're given and try to make it work. I had to fail through that many times. And Jen knows this on an intimate level, some of the trials and tribulations I've gone through. And yeah, for me, I think I probably wasn't asking clear enough questions. I certainly was trying to interview folks. And there were plenty of times, too, where I really felt like I had a great understanding and I walked into the role and then it was just different. It like either the person I had, you know, planned on reporting to didn't actually stay in that role, whether, you know, whether they left before I started or shortly after. That had changed the dynamic at companies for sure. So I was like, ooh, this person's going to be good. I'm going to have good leadership. I get in, that leadership's gone. And then the culture kind of changes. But yeah, I've gotten better, I'd say for sure, at asking more clear questions and also just being brutally honest about who I am. I am not a yes person. I'm not just going to go somewhere and say yes at the sake of saying yes to everything. I am not the just send the email person. If I think it's a terrible idea or I think the strategy's off, I'm going to throw my hand up and say, wait, like, can we talk about why we're doing this? And I was finding myself in cultures that did not like that. They didn't respect that. And my expertise surely wasn't being respected. And so now I handle those conversations very differently where like, hey, I know myself. I know where I don't succeed. I'm like, I need autonomy. I need support. I need respect. If I'm here doing this job, like, please, you know, it should be because you respect the fact that I have the experience and the expertise that I have. And so if we have an understanding that like, that's why I'm here and I'm here to ask questions and poke holes and be curious, then we're going to get along. I also said this to clients and translated it into bigger career conversations of like, I just straight up have a no assholes clause. I don't work with bad clients. I'm not going to do work where I'm being made to feel crappy. Because that's not enjoyable for anyone, usually on either side. And really same thing on the work front too, of like, if we're good humans and we're respectful of one another, we're here to do good work, then I am all in, count, you know, sign me up. But if that changes and, you know, people are no longer respectful, that's when I'm out. And I'm no longer fearful of leaving opportunities. And I think that's a good piece of career advice too for anyone actively in email or entering email or the larger kind of marketing world right now. It is, the power is in our hands, folks. Like, for the first time in a really long time, the market's competitive. Everyone wants the skill set that we have, and there's not enough of us by any means. And the need for the expertise in our channels is not going anywhere. It's only becoming more complex. So yeah, really, if you're not paid adequately, start looking. If you're not respected by, you know, your leadership, you don't think you have growth opportunities, start looking. Like, don't make the mistakes that I did and stay somewhere for too long when it's not benefiting you and there's not that growth opportunity. Don't be afraid, you know, to leave a role that's not serving you, because it's just going to suck your energy dry until you find a new one. So yeah, don't be afraid to leave. It's not your vibe.
Amen. I hear you and relate to that so much.
Jen, I feel like Stephanie's is a common one. I think especially among women and young professionals, I feel like that's a career mistake that I hear people citing quite a bit. What do you think?
Well, Stephanie and I have gotten pretty close in the past few years, and I have had the same experiences where I just was not in the right environment, or I stayed too long in a place that was no longer serving me, or it just wasn't a fit, or I wasn't feeling respected, I wasn't contributing in meaningful ways. And I've kind of, I like to tell the people in my network, like, don't do the things that I have done wrong, let me warn you. But we do all have to kind of experience it, live it firsthand, and make those mistakes before we can learn the lessons. I can warn and warn people, but we all have to do it. We all have to live it, right?
So true. So true. Well, we've got one more. Alice's reminds me a lot of a famous news story that went viral on Twitter recently. Let's listen to that one.
It's been a long time since I made like a technical mistake that wasn't caught in Litmus. Thank you again, Litmus. You know what? I have a story from just like recently, from when I was on pager duty at Squarespace, because that's a thing I have to do now. Like, I don't know if you guys are aware, but like engineers have to have this like app installed on their phone, so that when the application has any kind of like errors in it, your phone blows up and a barbershop quartet starts singing really loudly, like the server's on fire, which is amusing, like to begin with. And then like when you get paged at 4 a.m., it's not so fun anymore. So that happened to me when I was last on call. And I was trying to diagnose the problem and found and like, you know, was following the runbook, and the runbook says to send out a test email to a small mailing list. And I did that. And for some reason, when I was switching from like all subscribers to just my mailing list of 5 email addresses, it selected both of them. So this test email that was like subject line, seeing if this works, went out to over 100,000 people, our entire company, including the C-suite, and like a bunch of our customers as well. Oh, and I was like individually, like this came from my work email address. And I was individually replying to these people saying, sorry, this is an accident. No, this was not for you. Sorry. And fortunately, like the SVP of engineering did not judge me too hard for it. But we managed to fix it so that having all subscribers selected and a mailing list selected was never happened again.
Did you get a lot of people respond to say like, yep, I got did. It?
Is that like I took a screenshot.
Yeah, they were like, yes,
I took a screenshot of my inbox and posted it to Slack, and like a bunch of people empathized. It was a trash fire.
And there were no major consequences, which is great. I've heard of people whose jobs have been at risk because they made a very similar mistake, or maybe they believe their job is at risk when in fact it never really was. It just felt like such a devastating mistake.
It definitely felt like that. I was like, it was on a weekend as well. I think it was like a Saturday, and like a couple of my colleagues actually like messaged me on that Saturday to like ask what was happening. I'm like, no. But yeah, I think that I'm definitely fortunate to work in an organization, and I can't necessarily say the same is true with perhaps previous organizations, that they have this like philosophy that like, it's a blameless culture. Like if a mistake has surfaced, then we take immediate actions to proactively like ensure it doesn't happen again, and we learn from those mistakes, because like everyone makes mistakes, and if you don't allow that opportunity to grow, then like what kind of employees are you fostering? I suppose like nobody's perfect. So I think it's a very healthy attitude to have, and I'm definitely grateful for it.
That's such a great point that, like, if you don't break something once in a while, are you really pushing the limit of what email
exactly
can do for you? Yeah, I love that perspective. Yeah. Thank you. So integrations are a thing, right? I mean, this, I feel like this is a pretty forgivable mistake, but man, I bet that was rough to get those direct responses back to her inbox that was like, yeah, I got this.
Oh, yeah. And it's such a, like, judgment call. Like, when do you send the oops email? When do you not send an oops email?
That's a thing. I think that's, like, a known thing. Like, you send that oops email, you see the metrics, and it's tempting. You're like, oh, wow, that got high engagement. But it's just that people love to see mistakes. It's human nature. They want to see what went wrong. Well, this has been a lot of fun. I have really enjoyed hearing these mistakes, and I'm so grateful to Mark and Stephanie and Alice for sharing them.
Yeah, don't forget, accidents and failures, that is what makes us human, and that's one of the things that Humans of Email is all about. So don't be embarrassed of all those mistakes. Celebrate them, learn from them, and evolve. And we're going to have 3 new guests coming up over the next 3 weeks, and then we'll do this all over again. We'll have another accidents episode, a roundup of those mistakes. And thanks again to our silver sponsor, Email on Acid, for sponsoring the accidents episodes for us. So if you enjoyed today's show, be sure to subscribe to our email list at humansofemail.com. You'll see all of the oopses that we make with our own emails. It's a work in progress. Follow us on the socials, and you can always shoot us an email at howdy@humansofemail.com. Oh, and we've also got The Bounce. You can be a part of our show. We're going to launch The Bounce with the next episode, right?
Exactly. So don't forget to upload your questions. It could be anything. If you want to try to stump us, if you've got a genuine strategy question, I don't know if we can answer your coding questions, but we'll sure try. We'll answer them without prep work with our friend Tom Bastic. So go to anchorfm.com. Wait.
Nope. You're making mistakes again, Natalie.
Oh, I got to send an oops email on this podcast. Go to anchor.fm/humansofemail. You can find the link on any of our socials. You can record your audiogram there, and we'll get it directly. We will not listen to it. We will not know what any of your questions are until Tom asks them live to us.
That's anchor.fm/humansofemail. Just look for the message button, and we'll catch you next time.
See you next week.
Everyone makes mistakes, so yes, they do. You've been listening to Humans of Email, a podcast about the people, ideas, and accidents that drive email forward. An Idea Empire production. Copyright 2022.
If everyone in the whole wide world makes mistakes, then why?